Welcome to the Smith and Rowland Show. Let's join our host, Alan Smith and Jeff Rowland.
All righty, welcome to
Smith and
Rowland Show.
Well, I got to tell you,
we have stepped up a notch.
Life is good.
You went up more than one.
Yeah.
Cody.
We got old at heart.
Old at heart. Otherwise known as, you know, I actually had some people that ask who Old at Heart was. They just know him as Old at Heart.
Yeah.
Now he's coming out of the closet.
There you go.
I wouldn't go that far.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, let me rephrase it.
Don't know, but especially with the topic we're using today.
I can't let it go though, Jeff.
That's awful.
Those overalls.
So sorry.
It looks like you might be ready to milk a cow.
I didn't hear what he said. What did he say?
He stuttered.
What did he say?
It was a move.
I can't hear him.
Experience.
Can you mute his microphone for me, Cody? I'll have you to know that my daughter sent a text today. She was watching our service this morning, and she complimented her daddy for wearing his overalls. I dressed up for Easter.
You know, Cody did text me and said y'all had the Easter bunny at church today.
You should not be talking about Cody's wife like that. Why would you do that?
She should be listening. That's what.
That's what it is. Did y'all have a good Easter service today?
Yeah, we did. We had a good service.
Good.
It seemed to be had a full house. And
now you're taking them through the Book of Acts.
Taking them through the Book of Acts.
Good.
And it just so happens I kind of got softly corrected a little bit for Mike Bickle here a week or two ago, and I took the correction. I really did. But when I got to the place in Acts 2. Where Peter preached this murder indictment against Israel,
mm-hmm.
and he says he was filled by the Holy Spirit, and
yeah.
I don't know the number of days, 50 or 60 days before then, didn't he deny Jesus three times?
He did, three times. 50
days
before
his
preaching
before
at Pentecost, yeah.
Then somehow another.
Somehow it didn't disqualify him.
Well, it did for a good 50 days, I have you know.
50 days,
that's exactly right.
And we're sticking to it.
That's exactly right. And so, anyway, I got myself in a cul-de-sac, and I went to hee-hawing around. And I said, there's no way I can get out of this, just say it. And,
yeah.
And I didn't call no names, so I done good. So I just said it, and I made a point that for some reason he denied Jesus three times, and then lo and behold, 50 days, he's preaching to the whole world.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That Jesus is the Messiah. But anyway, not to bring up nothing.
Yeah,
that's
we don't
want to
bring up nothing that's controversial. No, that's not what we're about here at Smith and Rowland Show.
You know what you got yourself into?
What?
You got yourself into a Bickle Pickle.
I was definitely Bickle Pickled up.
He was Bickle
and
Pickle.
And I'll tell you another Bickle Pickle is your topic that you have chosen for today. And I want our audience to know.
Oh, here
that I begged and begged and begged.
Here we go.
Jason, Old at Heart, and Pastor Rowland.
We just want to wish everybody.
Not to do this topic.
We just want to wish everybody a happy Transgender Day. Is that what you wanted to say, Jeff?
I have no idea what y'all are talking about. I was going to talk about the grace of God today.
You liar. You liar.
One thing I did want to say about it, though. Ezra 5:3.
Right.
But in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Babylon. Now, just consider that. The first year of Cyrus, the king of Babylon.
This is after the fall of Babylon.
Well, the same king Cyrus made a decree to build this house of God.
Right.
There was a decree sent out by the king to build the house of God. Darius then gave another decree concerning that same thing.
Now, Cyrus was not a Jew.
No.
Mm-mm.
He was king of Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
Our leader made a decree making today Transgender Day of Visibility. Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, he did that a while back and it just happened to coincide with Easter. I don't care when he did it. And I don't care what day it falls on.
I'd have changed it.
It's an abomination mm-hmm. before God.
Mm-hmm.
God's not pleased with it.
So you're saying now today, then,
mm-hmm.
according to your president,
mm-hmm.
he declared that today was National Transgender Appreciation Day.
Yes.
Decree.
Transgender Day of Visibility.
Visibility.
They want them to be visible, apparently.
On the same day as Christians celebrate the resurrection.
Yeah. Trans Day of Visibility is all about trans joy, says Tori Cooper.
Trans joy.
Trans joy. They're spreading the joy.
Episode Jay, what's trans joy, Jason? We need a little millennial
trans
talk
joy.
Here.
Yeah,
what's
you,
trans
you,
joy.
Old what's heart, you tell us heart? About what's, both of you. Trans, what's trans joy?
Joy is really when you have a manual transmission and you have joy when you get to shift gears.
See, no. You can't do it. No, you can't do it.
No, that's no. He went redneck.
He went
totally redneck.
And, see, and again, that's why we've he got went, old at heart here today.
I just want to. I just want to bring up that. Put it on the record that Jeff, you did acknowledge that that is your president.
Oh, you, well, heard, let me, it, you let heard me rephrase that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Okay. You
I
know
slipped
what?
It in there. Since, I slipped it in there.
Watch this. He is, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And can I tell you, that's the problem I have. Here's the deal. Well, I've got several problems. One problem is the entire Bible is about the governments of this world trying to squash out Christ in any way. In during the Old Testament, well, since Genesis 3:15, Satan's been using governments to try to stop Jesus from coming into the world all through the Old Testament. Then he used Herod, you know, to try to kill all the babies to get rid of Christ. In the New Testament, starting with the day of Pentecost, the preaching of the gospel, Peter had to go to jail. The apostles were often beaten by the leaders of the day. The reason is because they were preaching the gospel. They were pointing out sin. John the Baptist went to a governor and pointed out the governor's sin. The whole Bible is filled with this, yet we still have churches that don't want to be political. Now, whether they want to believe it or whether they don't want to believe it, you're preaching a false gospel.
Uh-oh, now easy now. You're going to get this on TV.
You're preaching a false gospel. If your gospel that you're preaching doesn't include affecting society and the culture around you and the political climate of our day. You're preaching false gospel.
What about the preachers that say, I think you're supposed to leave politics all out of the pulpit?
They need to examine whether or not they've been called to preach, because I don't believe they have. That's just for, you know, you said, what do you do with all these preachers? Preachers don't really amount to anything nowadays in most churches. Preaching is not valued like it used to be, even though it was the preaching of the cross that brought people to Christ. But that's for another topic, another day.
Okay, so we got Transgender Day.
Yeah. When is Transgender Day of Visibility? It is March the 31st, same day as Easter.
Which is today.
That's today. What is Transgender Day of Visibility? According to GLAAD, people observe Transgender Day of Visibility to raise awareness about transgender people. It was created by Rachel Crandall, a transgender advocate and the executive director and co-founder of Transgender Michigan, in 2010 because of the overwhelming amount of media stories involving violence against transgender people. She hoped to create a day where people could celebrate the lives of transgender people while still acknowledging that due to discrimination, not every trans person can or wants to be visible, states GLAAD's website.
Well, I tell you what, let me give you a little commentary there.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not so sure. I mean, I'm not against transgender being a transgender if they want to be a transgender. They can cross themselves between that and Hoppy Toad. I really don't care. And if you want to do that, I say jump on it.
Yeah.
If we're supposed to keep a separation of church and state, as everybody talks about all the time, I can't see what making Transgender Appreciation Day has to do with the federal government, their rights and resources of doing what our federal government's supposed to do. In other words, I don't see how the federal government is to create that type of immorality, or I mean, it's just not there. I just don't see how you, how it's done. Why in the world anybody puts up with it? Because just like you said, it's a decree. It's not even law. But you can't say that it's not a, if it's 365 days in the year, why'd you have to pick the same day as the resurrection of Christ? So I would have to say that it's, and I know people say, well, it landed on that day this year. Of course it did, but you know, out of 4 or 5 years, it's going to land on that day.
So, yeah. To the same people who support transgender ideology in our society and being taught to our children and being having our children exposed to that, the same people that support that are the same people that support defunding the police and standing against law and order. So they say this day has come about because of violence toward transgenders. Now, I haven't heard a lot about violence toward that particular group in America. I do know that in...
violence can be, nowadays it could be anything.
Can be defined as anything.
I'm not going to want my kid being taught by a transgender. And they know that a lot of Christians, they're not going to put up with it. They're not going to send their kids to be taught by a transgender. And so I guess they do feel like they have to.
Well, and talking about defunding, when are we going to get on board with defunding the public school system?
Yeah, I agree. And my point is, to the crowd that talks about defunding the police, now they're having a day of visibility because of violence. My point is they're constantly contradicting themselves.
It's a moving target.
That's exactly right.
Quote, somebody in the Bible said this: you can't make a sinner happy. That might have been a country song, but one of the country songs of the Bible.
It was a good one.
You can't make a sinner happy. There's just no way.
Well, and two, the reason I read that verse of scripture is because it seemed that the king in Babylon was closer than what the king in America is today. The king of Babylon that is going to be reformed and is in the tribulation time as the seat mm-hmm. in which the Antichrist is going to rule from. He had more scruples in the word than what our leaders do today. And it just bothers me that we don't have the kind of backbone to at least raise a voice about it.
Well, how does to Old at Heart and Big J there, how do y'all interpret such stuff like that, guys?
I don't think either one of us is probably a good representation of the mass amounts of
our country. I don't think y'all are either. In many ways.
You're the best we got, though.
Yeah, you're the only ones we have at the time. How do y'all feel about the church taking an active stand? I'm talking about in their preaching, in their instruction, and even in their, if I can use the word, this is not a good word, but even in their activism, how should the church respond
to society?
Well, I told you about this book I started Friday, right?
Yeah.
Wild at Heart.
Wild at Heart.
You going to change your name?
So maybe that's why it resonates. Yeah. But oddly enough, I was talking to Jason about it 30 minutes ago, and he said, I just went on a camping trip with this guy because he read that book. The entire premise is the church. It's talking about the church mm-hmm. overall being soft.
Being soft.
And such a pushover.
Yeah.
And unwilling to go forth into battle like so many biblical principle or stories show us.
Yeah.
And why can't and why shouldn't we mimic that today?
Yeah.
Instead of just rolling over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to quote one of my favorite YouTubers. He said, I was watching this video of him yesterday, and he said, the pulpits are filled with pot psychiatrists with a little bit of religion mixed in. Mm. And I think that's, to me, that like summed up the entire.
Boy, he cleans you, preacher, Jeff.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a generalization. I'm not saying like all.
No,
of course not.
Hey, but when you bring that up, I think the overwhelming majority are like that.
Really?
Of today, yeah.
I would agree with that.
Really?
I think the overwhelming majority of preachers are,
The first podcast I was on was talking about how do I find a church. That's what I'm not looking for.
Yeah.
Well, do you think if we had, we can talk about churches in general. Let's narrow it down where we maybe grab it. What if we just had at least one or two churches in each area that did that preached the truth, that weren't scared to.
I think there is that.
Yeah,
I think that's a very realistic thing. I think there probably is one or two churches
that are. I'm not saying every church needs to fulfill the role because it's something about if you get over 300, God gets crowded when it goes to war. Yeah. But it doesn't have to. One church can make a huge impact.
It could if the other churches at least didn't criticize that church that did that.
Jeff, we love it.
I know I did, but that's what I've been railing against. If they can sit, which kind of goes back to the whole trans joy thing. There's no joy in sin. It just leads to one place. And hopefully people get tired of that and they start looking for something else.
I'm just frustrated with people who name the name of Christ and in the name of Christ, they take more of a passive role of we're not going to say anything about these things.
Yeah,
I'm frustrated with that. I don't think God's pleased with that. And they'll take a stand on something that don't cost them anything. But if it's going to cost them a little bit of the reputation or if it's going to cost them a little bit of something, they're just not willing to pay the price. I view the majority of the church as being that way in America.
Consider this. We know that the Democratic Party took advantage of the black community.
And if you don't believe that, go look it up.
I mean, it's just
two generations.
Okay. So we know that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Even though most of them weren't black, they were white, but they were using the black community. Now, so I make that distinction. I'll do the same thing with transgenders. The ones that are pushing this thing aren't even a transgender.
Yep.
It's the darkness of
a bunch of
idiots are using people that are mentally imbalanced or in sin or whatever. I mean, we can chop the heads off the transgenders or slap them around or whatever we think, but the truth is that is not our biggest problem.
Well, and most of the time, it's not even their true narrative.
It's not.
You go back to their previous quotes from 10, 20 years ago, and it's complete flip of the script. It's just whatever's narrative is current and making them money now.
So why would the Democratic Party is doing that with the transgender now? It looks like to me that the Democratic Party has its calling card is let's take advantage of a minority group to focus our causes on that we're going to say, bless your little heart. So they're really and truly are using, it's worse than being the transgender is what I'm saying.
Right.
I think we got a bigger demon than transgenderism.
I do too. It's not the transgenders or the homosexuals or the drug addict or the drunk or anything else that's causing us to become lukewarm. I understand that. What I do believe, those things are affecting our society.
There's no doubt.
And to play the card of, well, it's going to get that way anyway, and we ought to just preach the word. I hear that a lot.
Well, to preach the word, you would preach against homosexuality.
If you're
going to
preach the word, you got to preach against it.
But I'm saying, I don't think that's our big problem. I think the big problem, I think they're being used. I think the problem's bigger. I mean, just like you used the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party is using these minorities to destroy, for some reason, those minorities. I mean, like the history in America over the black population.
So if the problem is bigger, as you frame it, and I agree with you, by the way.
What should we preach on?
Okay, well,
the transgender or the people? I'm saying, how can you keep politics out of the
court? You can't.
That's what is my point.
You cannot.
How can you keep it out
of the court? You cannot. Not and be faithful to the word of God. Mm-hmm.
Let me pose a question around that. Do you think a lot of church leaders don't approach this from just being job scared in their own positions and collecting a paycheck?
I think that's part of it. I'll say this. I don't think it started there. I don't think that's why it started. But that's a part of it. Some are job scared because they got people in their congregations that have family members or loved ones who are now affected by homosexuality or transgenderism or some of these other things that's going on in society. It is now infiltrated into the church. That's why you have such a situation with Alistair Begg. It's affecting people that are in the congregation. And as a result of that, I do believe there's a lot of preachers that are they're job scared. They're also afraid of government persecution.
Like the 501c3.
Well, that's part of it, too. But I do think that we're approaching a day. Canada's already facing this time where preachers are getting locked up and put in jail for preaching against certain social sins.
Aren't there some instances in that book that we read every day about talking about getting locked up?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's as if we're so detached now from the Word of God and making it relevant for our time that people can't see that whether that happens, whether that doesn't happen, has nothing to do with the call of God that we have on our lives to preach the word and be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and with doctrine, the Bible says. So I'm just saying that I agree with you that the problem is bigger. You know, you can get sidetracked on homosexuality or transgenderism.
I'm not minimizing that as a problem.
No, I know you're not. And I agree with you that the problem is bigger.
My point is,
but we're facing,
you have to be political.
Yeah, we're facing a time now where they won't even preach against that, much less the bigger problem.
Well, don't you think you have? I mean, you've been a pastor. Pastors manage the herd, if you will, or the congregation in different ways. Most pastors are just trying to get everybody to hush long enough so he can get home after preaching, take a nap. He's got so many people yapping at him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so most pastors aren't looking to, they're trying to keep the herd quiet, much less stir it up. So I think a lot of times because of, I think the best way to do it is you just blast her out and let it fall where it'll fall.
Where it'll fall. And I got to say that today, as never before, and this, I think this has turned in my lifetime, at least with the, in my lifetime, this is what has been my experience. I started preaching early, early in my life. And it used to be you didn't have to fight to preach. You fought while you preached, but you didn't have to fight to preach. Mm-hmm. Now you got to fight to preach. That's how far the church has declined. Now, if you take an honest look at the scriptures and ask yourself, why has the church fallen into this condition? Mm-hmm. You have to make a parallel that from decrees like this from our government. Mm-hmm. Listen, this is a reproach on our government. It is a reproach on our leaders that becomes a reproach on the people. Light mm-hmm. shines down through leadership on the people. We've talked about that a thousand times. So this is a reproach on our government that is then cast upon the people. You cannot convince me that the decline in spiritual fervor, passion, and zeal in the house of God has not been affected by our government. And by the decrees such as this, we may not see it. A lot of people say, well, you know, I don't believe that. And our church don't believe that. And our church this. And our church. Listen, to say that the church is not in decline in America is to be blind. At the turn of the 1900s in the revival in Wales, buildings were built. 1,500, 2,000 people were gathering every night to hear preaching. Police stations was closing up and forming gospel quartets to go sing in revival meetings in Wales. Now those same buildings are no longer churches, most of them. Most of them are warehouses and pubs, and those that are still buildings have 10 people sitting in them that would seat 1,500. The same thing's going to happen in America if we don't begin to raise our voice and preach truth again. And when we're preaching truth, there is a difference between the Logos and the Rhema. There is a specific word for a specific season, and I don't think that it's being honest if we don't preach the truth that's going to affect our society today. Now, I'm not talking about preaching all the time on transgenderism and homosexuality and all that sort of thing, but not having the backbone to call out our leaders in the way we should and pray for them. To not have that kind of backbone and desire, I think is going to be paralyzing. If I can just say, this past Friday night, we were teaching and you was there, and there was a passage of scripture that caught my attention. It jarred me a little bit. I heard it read earlier this week, and then when I heard it read, I did notice that I had been putting an assumption and an implication into that passage that's not there. The disciples came to the Lord in Luke 11 and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And I made the statement Friday night that the biggest sin in the church, I think, is prayerlessness. It's our lack of just simply praying. The Bible says, if my people which are called my name will humble themselves and pray. So humility has to become a part of praying, I think, before praying can be effective. To be broken is what motivates and catapults our prayer life, to be broken. If we're no longer broken over the lost, then we're not going to pray for the lost. If we're no longer broken over our nation, we're not going to pray for our nation. So the fact that we're not praying for our country like we should could be because we don't care enough about it to be broken over it. That bothers me.
Let me ask you something. What is it? Because what I think you said in that document that you've got there was that today or tonight or whatever, a lot of the national monuments are going to be lit up with rainbow colors in recognizing this as that day. Just think about it. I mean, what is it that would make you push that agenda that hard? Just like I said to you, most of them that are pushing it aren't a transgender.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
I totally agree.
So I'm asking the question, what is the motive then?
It's demonic.
Is there any political, social construct that makes any sense on why you would push such an agenda other than to destroy the country?
It's about power.
About power? Give me a little bit more understanding.
About those in power staying in power.
If you study history,
No matter the side.
That's right. That's exactly right.
No matter.
It doesn't matter what side of that fence you're on.
As long as they're
in power. Power is a motivating factor in trying to build some type of ideology that's going to keep them safe in their power. I believe that.
But it doesn't look like that would be. You go to Walmart. I mean, two out of ten is not transgender. I mean, you see, hear what I'm saying. I mean,
I do. But the ideology, as you pointed out, it includes transgenderism, though you're not transgender. Mm-hmm. The ideology of the progressive left includes all of these minorities. Now, the one thing that they're running scared of right now is that the minorities are peeling away from that. In a political sense. But can I say they're doing it in a political sense? It's not necessarily that they're doing it because God has got a hold of their heart. I think the solution is to bring people to Christ, to preach the gospel, to win the lost. I think that's the real solution. You can change somebody's mind, but if their heart's not changed, I'm not sure that change is going to be stable. Mm-hmm. So we vacillate back and forth. But if you study history, the Roman Empire, at the end of its rule and its reign, was eaten up by sexual perversion. Mm-hmm. Sodom and Gomorrah was eaten up by sexual perversion. At the end of every empire, Persian Empire, Grecian Empire, if you go back and look at it was perverted.
That's the reason I say, what can be the goal other than destruction of the society?
Which is the blindness of their own heart, if they can't see that. And if they see that, why would they destroy their own power system? That would be the question. Why would you go to such length to destroy what you're so wanting to be in control of to start with, unless you're just spiritually blind?
I think the deception's so great that to look at it with a sound mind, there's not enough transgender votes out there to shift anything. So I have to ask myself, okay, what's the purpose? I'm persuaded it's a psyop type tactic that the government now is using, because if you make transgender, which to me is just off the charts, an acceptable type of behavior, then the psyops concept is I'm messing with your mind, I'm messing with your brain. And so I don't know that they're trying to turn everybody transgender.
No,
but
I don't.
But they are trying to turn everybody in some direction.
A victim.
That's it. There you go.
It doesn't matter what it is. You're a victim.
You're a victim.
And if I can tell you you're a victim and make you believe it,
then you'll follow me.
Then you will follow me. And it's not about votes and
hearing.
That's
right.
It's about those in power remaining in power.
And that
may not be the politicians. That may just be who they're answering to.
And that victimization process leaves that victim dependent upon the government for their everything. Mm-hmm. The government then becomes their god.
That's what I'm saying. And there's got to be another motive.
I think it's a step above that. I think it's money, because there's several organizations that own the government, in a sense, with their lobbyists. Yeah.
It also causes divisiveness. Joe Biden did it with the blacks. If you remember, you can't be black if you're not, what was he saying? If you didn't vote for me, you're not black.
Yeah, you're not black. That's right.
And so it creates this divisiveness. And well, if you're against transgenders, then, you know, it creates this very big divisiveness over a very small minority of people.
When you ask any voter, they're going to say, I'm just picking the lesser of two evils. They're both evil.
I got to be honest with you. In most ways, I feel that way. I really do. I feel like we're picking the lesser of two evils nearly all the time. Mm-hmm. However,
there's still a pretty good gulf between
them. There's a pretty good span between them. That's exactly right. I mean, it makes it an easy choice.
Yeah, it's not, yeah.
And that's the reason I've asked before, and I know it got us in trouble. And it got more trouble than me.
I'm always
I question somebody's allegiance to God who lines up with that progressive ideology that promotes this garbage. Now, I just don't think that there's anything wrong with saying that. I'm at peace with saying that.
Well, that's obvious.
Yeah, I'm very much at peace with it.
Yeah. Wendershut.
Yeah, Wendershut on that deal. Well, it got shut a long time ago.
I know that.
But nonetheless,
it got us in trouble then, too.
It did get us in trouble. I know that. And it'll probably get us in trouble again, because I'm not going to back up from it, for sure. And I'm probably going to say it more. But if you support that kind of ideology that promotes this, listen, you're right, Alan. There's a very, very small segment of our population that's transgender, But their day of visibility is out there in the schools. It's flashed on every television screen. You are inundated with this kind of lifestyle being promoted in front of
us. We've already had that done on a beer can, but that didn't go over too good.
No, it didn't fly real good. Well, that,
good visibility.
Yeah, well, it goes back to follow the money. People stopped the influx of money, and then they bailed out.
That's exactly right. Bunch of rednecks is not going to sign up for Trump. You might get them to sign up for something that's progressive, but this ain't one of them. I mean,
the insurance.
I mean, this is not going to happen. Yeah, they just kind of went overboard on that. They lost their ever-loving mind, what little of it they had to start with. Getting back to the big problem, though, and we'll wrap this up here. Getting back to the bigger problem, because it is a bigger problem, which is the blindness of the government of our day. Mm-hmm. Now, I just want to say, our government hadn't always been that way. Go grab Chuck and get him on here and talk about the history of our forefathers, the prayers of our forefathers. I've got a book at the house that's full of prayer meetings that each state in America had prior to writing their state constitution. I've got a book that talks about the prayers of our founding. Let me tell you something. I don't think that at the founding of our country, that they were thinking too much about homosexuality and transgender. Our founding fathers trusted the preaching of the gospel that was in our country to take care of such matters. And the reason the government is even putting their nose in it now is because churches have been run off from preaching against such matters. And so we've allowed it to happen.
Let me see if I can help change your mind on that statement.
Okay.
No, I was just kidding.
Wendershut.
Wendershut. I know Wendershut.
Wendershut.
Well, I was bringing it up here. You said that, you know, we're out of time.
I think we need revival if we have any hope of continuing on. Again, Paul said to Timothy, preach the word and be instant in season and out of season.
Well, do you think that the word will still work?
Yeah, buddy.
Do you?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, we were talking root cause analysis.
That's the whole deal. Absolutely, it does. It absolutely holds true. And that is, preaching the word is that's the foundation. That's the fundamental that's been lost. I believe that that's being lost in many places. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, I think even the word's going forth, but it's going forth so passively, so quietly, that it's very easily not heard, and especially not obeyed. And we were talking Friday night about how that Jesus said, I will manifest myself to you. But there was a precondition to that. If you love me, keep my commandments. Mm-hmm. Requires obedience. A lot of people don't even know what to be obedient to because they've not heard it. They don't know what God is commanding in his scriptures.
In the last few minutes, let me ask you all three a question. What's it going to look like if Trump does not win?
Are you asking me seriously?
I'm asking all three of you.
I think it's going to continue to look exactly the way it is. If you're looking,
I'm not saying
economics,
to save the world, but we got two guys running.
Yeah.
All right, let's say Trump doesn't win. What do you think it's going to look like?
I don't think we survive as a nation. I don't think we can in four more years. If you look back to what it was like 4 years ago.
I can't believe it.
Three years ago, I mean.
I'm with you there.
I don't think we survive as a nation.
My hope does not lie in Trump at all, but my hope does lie that it's a better future. That, you know, I don't feel like we would be backpedaling.
I mean, we
need to backpedal. We don't feel like we would be like, you know.
Well, Trump has been compared to Cyrus in the Bible, and I think rightfully so. I don't think that's too much of a misassumption there. And Cyrus, of course, wasn't a Jew nor a believer,
right,
but God used him. And that's the way, in all honesty, that's the same way I see Trump. I mean, I just can't see it no other way. And I think that the question is, I mean, I heard, what's that guy's name? It's Saruf, got a podcast, Jason, not Joe Rogan, but
Alex Jones.
Alex Jones, that's it, yeah. I knew I'd remember.
Refrigerator.
Alex Jones was so dead set on, if this country doesn't change, here's what he said. He said, I believe that if they can't take Trump out, and I hate to even say this out loud, but he said if they can't take Trump out in courts and destroy him, they'll shoot him and his airplane down. He said, I believe they'll kill the man, because he said, I've never seen somebody go after a man. And I mean, come on, y'all, we're maybe getting numb to it, but come on. We've never seen anything like
this.
No,
we've never seen nothing like this happen.
I mean, I don't care where you are.
Honestly, if anything like this would happen in any other country, that'd be civil war.
Oh, well, we'd be there to help fight it.
That's the problem. Yeah. We'd be there to help fight it, and it's happening here.
Or send them billions.
Yeah, that's right. I don't see how you can follow the same policies in foreign affairs or even in the economy. And we're just talking politics here. You cannot follow this same path that we've been on for 3 years now and maintain your identity as a nation. It can't happen.
Have you ever seen such devastation in 3 years?
No. Not in my lifetime.
I mean, come on, guy.
Not in my lifetime.
It's pretty bad.
I mean, 3 years. I never would have. No. I'd have bet the farm that couldn't have happened.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I just bet the farm.
We actually abstained from a vote.
No, I know. I saw that.
Allowing Israel to defend themselves in the UN. Now, listen, you cannot continuously do these things and expect that God is going to just wink at it and us not suffer the judgment of God.
Well, I mean,
God, it can't happen.
You can't. I mean, we got Joe Biden. You can't tell me that's not the judgment of God starting.
I agree.
I mean, let's just be honest with you.
I agree.
I'll just say it out loud, and you know, might get us thrown off or something. But
well, and if you've got such a corrupt government as to affect the vote of the people, what length will they go to? If you've got such a corrupt political system as to persecute your political opponent, that is just real familiar to what's happened in Russia over decades. I mean, they just killed one of...
That's what I'm saying. That's
Putin just had one of his killed, so...
I
totally agree. Yeah. And I just think that I don't see us surviving as a nation with this kind of leadership. This is not like having a Putin. We've got Joe Biden. He would allow an invading army to come in and take us over as long as he is paid for it.
Just think about this now. There's something about me that feels sorry for Joe Biden.
No, I agree with you.
I'll just be very honest with you.
He's abused. You're
talking about being older. Abused.
Yes, it's elder abuse.
So whatever that is behind him.
Yeah.
Is what I'm talking
about. Which is, I think, what Cody was saying.
That's what Cody was saying.
Yeah.
Because there's just something, I'm just in all honesty, something about me that feels sorry for him. And there's something inside of me that feels some sorry for Trump. Where in the world, how does he
I don't know how he keeps ticking.
He's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
But how in the world does he keep ticking?
Just because of what they put him through. And also that he's had the balls to do it.
Yeah.
I'll take him all day long. Because if you can go through that, you talk about the stripping dehumanizing of a person. If you can go through that and walk out the other side,
I don't see how.
I'll take him all day long.
Yeah, well, the thing that
that's the reason I wonder. Yeah.
I'm not his biggest fan.
Well, none of us are.
I'm getting to be.
But I wasn't Cyrus's either. But at the same time, when I read the Bible, I know God used the man. Israel couldn't have made it without him.
No.
You know, the last couple.
It's like Trump said himself. He said if he would have been president, they would have never have invaded on October the 7th. You know, now, whether people can argue that. But at least he cared. He's the president that moved the capital to Jerusalem.
That's right.
I'm saying that from a purely political standpoint, those that cannot see that our nation was better off and would be better off, if you can't see that, it's because you refuse to see it.
You know, the last
and that's that bigger thing.
The last couple of weeks we were watching the video of the Calvinists versus the Christians.
Correct, yeah.
And sorry, Cody's a Calvinist, so I'd be really careful.
So his mom actually thought I was Calvinist.
Cody, you are close enough to slap him. You are close enough.
But, you know, they spent a lot of time trying to disqualify the words and the prophetic words that's been put forth, even about from our group of people, what I would consider our group of people. Those words are not void.
That's right.
It's not over yet.
Mm-hmm.
And just because Trump didn't serve two consecutive terms, that doesn't mean a thing.
No.
I agree. It
doesn't mean a thing.
I totally agree.
And so I think as much as there is an attack on America, there's also an attack within the church. There's a civil war going on within the church.
Oh,
right
now. That's right.
That's my point right there.
Oh, why didn't you just say that?
So my thing is on the defensive, right? So people will just say, well, we'll see you at the polls. How confident are you when you turn in your ballot? Do you feel that that is a tick to how you actually voted.
I don't feel confident at all. I have zero confidence.
Now, what would lead you to ask such a question?
I will say this, too, in terms of that. Donald Trump said this. If everybody that goes to church, if they voted,
that's right.
He said you'd control the country.
That's right.
And he's exactly right.
He's exactly right.
Now, he's getting closer to being wrong because nobody's going to church nowadays. That's declining. He's right to the And my point is, if that's not true, then you've got one or two options that's going on. Either those that's going to the house of God ain't voting, and there's a lot of them that won't, and it's because they've been told and taught to keep your nose out of politics and just preach the word.
Let me ask you this.
And that's violating the word.
I think all of us in this room have a little problem, if it's honest. You know, the polls. I mean, I don't doubt there's not some crooked stuff somewhere. It's too big. But nonetheless, I think our obligation is to go and vote.
Go get involved.
Yeah. It's absolutely our obligation.
Go set at your polls and
get involved. It is absolutely our obligation. Yeah.
What's more important, local or national?
It depends on the issue now. Yeah. It does. It depends on the issue. Yeah. And I think both are extremely important. But I start
State
to say...
State level's just as important.
Very, very much so, especially
We've
with the way that...
during COVID.
Yeah, absolutely. And, too, with the Supreme Court ruling on abortion, it makes all of the local politics and the state politics just as important as the national politics. But I started to say a minute ago, one of two things is happening. Either church people are not voting or they're voting wrong.
Well, I know a lot of people won't vote for Trump because he cursed or done something, you know.
Yeah. He's orange.
He's orange. Yeah. And all of that.
He's bombastic. He's prideful. He's arrogant.
And all of the above.
I'll agree with all of that. And let me tell you, that's exactly who I want sitting across the table from a Vladimir Putin. That's exactly who I want sitting across the table from Kim Jong-un from North Korea.
Oh, who flung
That's exactly who I want sitting across from Chow Mein out of China.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm saying you got to have somebody
that.
Sure can't have a Joe Biden sitting over there saying, well, I think today's Wednesday. No, that ain't going to work. That's not going to work. So I'm saying... that if what Donald Trump said was right, and I believe it was, if just church people, you'd control the nation. Okay? And people can say Christian nationalism all they want to. I'm sick of hearing that. I could puke. I could just absolutely upchuck when I hear that. And they liken that unto what it was during Hitler's day. If Christian nationalism is the promotion of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm for it. If Christian nationalism gets a transgender and homosexual curriculum out of schools, I'm for it.
Right.
I'll be for whatever comes out of the Word of God, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
So I think that's the first time I heard that term, Jason can probably attest to this, but first time I heard it was from Doug Wilson, and he's actually written a book on Christian nationalism.
Yeah.
But that sounds terrible, right? To
my generation, it was
opposition. But that's a Calvinist perspective on how to approach building the kingdom from within, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Which go for it? I'm all for that.
All for that in the political realm.
Now you're
all
saying, for that. You're saying now he was for it or again?
Yeah, he was for it. Yes, he's for it. And I am too.
And he's the one, like I said, the first time I heard the term coined was from him. He'd written a book on it. Vody Baucham had brought up. Yeah. They both had sat in on some roundtables discussing Christian nationalism. And Vody didn't even know what it was. He was like, well, what are you calling me? Are you calling me? Well, hold on now. I might be.
that's right. I am.
Oh, Roland, you're a lot of things. You're a lot of things,
I'm
brother.
A whole lot of things. But I'm just saying that the church, we've lost our zeal. We've lost our power. We're losing our influence, and no longer are we affecting society. Society's affecting us.
Well,
so that's got to be changed.
Let's close with a little. We have a comment on YouTube from Mrs. Oldenhart.
Oh, great. There we go.
Hey, everybody, hold on, because she's fixing to set everybody straight
here we go.
She said, men aren't men anymore. The creation of the family union and the lack of a father figure and a strong leader of a household has led the future generation into demonic delusion.
Now, just shut Wendershut right there.
There we go.
Contend with that.
Yeah, Wendershut. Boy, I'm glad she ain't my wife.
Casey's going to be preaching this Sunday. I do think that we need a church that's strong, and she's right. We need men that'll be men now, and they need to be men of God.
Well, and I think root cause
Yeah.
We need men to get into Scripture to learn how to be
yes.
men.
That's right. I think that our special guest, Cody, should close us out in prayer. So somebody raise the music, Jason, for
bring
him.
Bring us on.
While Cody All prays right. for us.
Cody, you go for it.
Dear Lord, just be with us today. We thank you for your death on the cross.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you more so for your resurrection.
Yes.
And sitting on my cross for my sin. Mine alone.
Praise God.
Lord, just be with us this week. Help us who are afflicted, who are sick. Lord, be with my family,
yes,
the families
Lord.
Of men here. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Just be with us this week. And we pray for all those in need and that don't know you. And Lord, for this nation, for these men.
Yeah.
Pray for men's ministries.
Yes.
Amen.
Lord. Yes.
Just bring
Lord.
More men or men, male figures that want to be men.
Yes, Lord.
To you.
Praise God.
I pray in your Son Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining today's Smith and Rowland Show. You can check out our website at kingdompropheticsociety.org. and our daily unplugged podcast at smithandrolandshow.podbean.com. You can also join us on Amazon, Apple, or Spotify.